In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. Really just a few words on today's gospel and on God's provision. We're always put in a very difficult dilemma and almost contradictory instructions. We're always told that God knows what we want. He knows our hearts, he knows our needs, he knows who we are. Well, he created us, and he created us the way he created us. But then, although he knows our hearts and knows our needs, we're also told to ask. So surely, if God knows, why do we need to ask? It's a question that baffles me quite a lot as well. And of course, like many, many questions, we will only know the answers in the fullness of time. But on reflecting on this, it would appear that while God knows and recognizes, he wants us to have a relationship with him. He wants us to open our hearts to him. He wants us to tell him of our needs, our aspirations, our prayers, even our fears and our concerns and our anxieties. We all know that the way to build relationships is to speak, to open up, to express. And for many people, that is such a challenge because it's difficult to open up. To open up means you need to trust the other person. It means you need to be comfortable enough to expose things about yourself, even if not so private, but at least still expose your needs. If you're with a friend and you want something, it's very easy to ask for it. But you can go to visit someone who is not close to you and need the slightest, most natural of things and be embarrassed to ask because the relationship doesn't exist. And so although God knows, he wants the relationship. And again, why does he want the relationship? Surely God is not like us. Because we sometimes, often, want relationships to be validated. I want a relationship with someone so that that someone can make me feel important. Make me feel loved, make me feel cherished. Because as a human, I need that validation. As a human, I need that comfort, that reassurance that someone loves and cares for me, that someone respects me, that someone is close to me. So why would God need that? The one consistent thing about God is that he is consistent and he is perfect and he doesn't change. He's not like us. He doesn't fluctuate. He is perfection itself. And so he is always at that level of perfection. And in that perfection, he is perfect everything. He is perfect creator. He is perfect father. He is perfect provider. And so God, as the perfect father, wants me to be close to him for me, not for him. Those of you who are parents here will know that it's very difficult at some stage of your children's lives where you invest very heavily in creating the relationship. You do incredible things. How many times have you stood on the sidelines of football pitches and watched, what do you watch in this country, cricket games or that strange game that you all play where people just hit each other and look like they're chasing a ball. And you stand there and you do this and you will take children to classes and you'll take children on hikes and it's an investment. Why? Not because you want recognition, but because you want your child to come close to you for your child so that he or she knows that he or she can always come to you at a time of need, at a time of desperation, at a time of vulnerability. And that's what God wants of us. He says to us, ask, seek, knock. And when you do that, I will give you what you want. God invests so heavily in his relationship with us that not only did he create Adam and Eve, not only did he walk through the garden with them, not only did he, when they fell, continuously care for them, but in the fullness of time and for the whole of humanity, he took flesh and he came and he dwelt among us to restore the relationship once again. That is the consistency of God. Anyone who tells you that the God of the New Testament is our Lord Jesus Christ, and he's loving and he's gentle and he's kind, but the God of the Old Testament is harsh, that's not right. God is God. But God deals with us in the most appropriate way, at the most appropriate time, for our good. In the Old Testament, he needed to guide us with some strength. He needed to show us certain things. He needed to bring us closer to him in a way that made sense to us. But then, as we, as humanity, matured and came into the fullness of the New Testament, the fullness of the Incarnation, the fullness of the crucifixion and then the resurrection, he started to deal with us differently. But the one thing that remained consistent was his love for us. This harsh God still provided water from a rock, manna from heaven, quails in the wilderness, and pillars of fire and cloud to guide his people. Where's the harshness in that? Just as he fed the multitudes with loaves and fish, he fed his people in the wilderness with the manna from heaven. Just as he provided hope through the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire through the wilderness, he provided hope for us in his resurrection, guiding us to his kingdom. So in that, God is fully consistent. God is unchanging. He will never give us stone when we ask for bread. He will never give us a serpent when we ask for fish. But if one day we get something we didn't ask for, then we need to ask ourselves, why did we get it? The answer is always going to be, because God wants it for you, and so therefore it must be the best thing. Now, that's not always true. Because sometimes we get the wrong thing because we ask for the wrong thing. Sometimes we get the wrong thing because we live the wrong life. It's not always God giving us what's good for us because we don't always ask for what's good for us. We don't always want what's good for us. And God will never force anything upon us. We all know that. If he did, then he would be a harsh God. I'm sure that children, when they are held down by their parents to be given medication, feel that those parents are harsh and unloving and cruel. And at times, God may want to do that, but he won't. If he was a harsh God, he would force things upon us, but he doesn't. He provides, and it's up to us. In the book of Deuteronomy, God is very clear. He says to us that he puts before us life and death, blessing and cursing, and tells us, doesn't choose for us, but tells us, I have put these things before you, therefore choose life. Not only does he give us the options, he also gives us the answer. But then he leaves the rest to us. So our God is a God of provision. Because he teaches us that. He says to us, I want you to be close to me so that at a time of vulnerability, you know I'm there. I want you to ask me so that I will give you, so that you know that any time when you need something, if you are going to seek first my kingdom and my righteousness, then I'll give it to you. He said, but God, come on, you can't be conditional. You're supposed to be an unconditional God. Your love is unconditional. So don't tell me that you will give me everything as long as I seek your kingdom and your righteousness first. And he said, well, that condition isn't for me, it's for you. Because when you ask for things, if you ask while you are in a place of seeking my kingdom and my righteousness, then you will ask for the right thing. But if you are going to ask while you are distracted by the world, distracted by the material nature of the world, distracted by the foolishness of the world, then you are going to ask for sometimes what is foolish. And so I'm trying to protect you. I will never ever give you stone when you ask for bread, but unfortunately sometimes you will ask for the stone. Now, of course, you're not going to do that literally, but figuratively, we do. We actually do. We ask for things that are harmful. We ask for things that will never satisfy. We ask for things that will never, ever provide what we think we're going to get. And because God is all-knowing and all-loving, he says, well, that's not really the best thing for you. But if you insist, I won't give it to you. You can take it, but I will not give it to you. Because I will never ever give you anything that will harm you. If you want your portion, if you want to go to the far country, although I know that you will waste it on prodigal living, although I know that you will have to bind yourself to a citizen of that far country under famine, although I know that you will be hungry, and being so hungry, you are willing to eat the food of swine, and no one will even give it to you, I won't hold you back. Take your portion, but always know that I am here for you when you return. I am here for you when you come back to me, because I don't change. The instant you want to come back, you'll find me exactly where you left me. I'll be looking for you. I'll be seeking you. I'll even, when you take a step towards me, come running to you. But I won't force myself on you. So tonight in this gospel, God reassures us. He reassures us that he is always there for us. But he says to us, I want you to start to learn to ask for the right things. If I just give you things, then you're never going to know what's good for you. And sometimes you will reject it because you don't understand its value. But ask. Seek. Knock. And I promise you, I will answer. I will give it to you, and I will open it for you, because this is the God that I am. I'm your father. I'm your provider. You see, God is a God of miracles. Our God doesn't just do small things. We often ask just for small things. But our God says to us, I'm going to challenge you. I don't want you to only ask for small things. I want you to seek what is heavenly. If you keep looking down here, this is all you'll see. But I want you to lift your eyes. Lift your eyes and look to me. Lift your eyes and seek me. Lift your eyes, and I promise you that I will be there. What more could we possibly want? God sits back and he puts up with a lot. We accuse him of a lot. We accuse him of being harsh. We accuse him of forgetting us. We accuse him of abandoning us. And he sits there humbly, quietly, taking it and accepting it, knowing that he actually is being wronged, but hoping that one day we will see the truth. The truth that he loves us, the truth that he gives us limitlessly, the truth that he is our Father who provides for us absolutely, and the truth that not only does he give us in this world, but he gives us what is coming in the world that he has promised us, in the kingdom that he has prepared for us, where he abides and he waits. And glory be to God forever. Amen.